Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of Richard's Ringside Hockey. I hope everyone is doing well today. October 17th, not too bad weather today, as expected on a mid-fall afternoon. A little windy, a little bit of sunshine, not too bad. Hope everyone's doing well today. I think let's just get right to it. NHL season is, 2 weeks in, and things are looking rather well. Mike seems to be rather low on the pickup. Can't understand why that is. Okay, yeah, I don't know what's going on with the microphone today. Studio was a little bit of a mess when I came in, but that's fine. Anyway, like I said, the NHL season is, 2 or 3 weeks old, starting on the 3rd, coincidentally on Wednesday. So a lot's happened in the past 2 weeks, or 2 or 3. I think that number still eludes me. But let's get started. Okay, so first overall draft pick from this year, Rasmus Dahlin picked up his first goal, as did Svechnikov. I can't remember his first name because his brother plays. Andrei Svechnikov. My apologies. Andrei Svechnikov picking up his first career goal earlier in the season. And Brady Tkachuk, fourth overall pick to the Ottawa Senators, got his first two career goals in the same game. So all three of those players within the top five pick from this year's draft, or I guess last year's draft, scoring their first career goals. Jesperi Kotkaniemi still looking for his first goal of his young career, picking up two assists so far in his time with the Habs. I don't know if any of you have been actually watching some of the games in the NHL recently. But if you watch the first opening games, like the first two, and you manage to catch the Vancouver Canucks playing, Elias Pettersson, ladies and gentlemen, is for real. If you saw some of the moves this kid was pulling out of his hat, boy, was he just, he just sees the ice so well, makes really good plays, and I think he scored in his first game, and very good sight for that player, and a promising future with the Canucks. Unfortunately, however, he's out with a concussion for what's going to be a couple of weeks. After he took a hit from Michael Matheson of the Florida Panthers. Matheson would end up getting suspended 2 games for his hit on Pettersson. If you watched it, I didn't think it was that bad. I think it was the fact that Pettersson got injured and the fact that he was away from the play. I think if the puck was there, it probably would have been a good play. But overall, my opinion, not that bad of a hit. Regardless, though, Michael Matheson, defenseman for the Florida Panthers, suspended 2 games while Pettersson is slotted to miss a few weeks with a concussion. Now, looking at some of the... my notes are a little dysfunctional because we didn't have an episode last week because of reading week. And so naturally, we missed out on a lot of news from that week. And I didn't want to have to be reporting news from... like a week ago. Most of this news is from last Wednesday on. I didn't think it would be very natural for me to be reporting news from before last week. Thought it would just be too outdated. And at that point, if you didn't know what was going on a week before, then, you know, you're probably not too keen on trying to keep up to date on NHL news. So most of this is from news from last Wednesday to now, just to notify some people of that. So the Boston Bruins, the Toronto Maple Leafs, Caps, and the Chicago Blackhawks all off to great starts. Washington was off to a great start when I wrote that note. Starting to falter a little bit now. Same with Chicago. No, Chicago's doing pretty good still. But Boston, Toronto, off to really good starts. I think I have in my notes here that Toronto's first in the league currently. Nashville's second, so they're doing great as well. Anaheim, surprisingly, in third place. With all the injuries, Kessler just coming back, Getzlaf hasn't been in the lineup, and they're missing Perry as well. Carolina off to a surprising good start, and the Habs and the Sens surprising a lot of fans. I know for sure that when I watched the Leaf game, the opening game of the season, Habs versus Leafs, two Wednesdays, not last Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, it was a really good game. I mean, the Habs, they dominated the Leafs. I was certainly surprised, and Habs have just continued a really great run of success. They beat Pittsburgh 5-1. They beat Pittsburgh in overtime 4-3. They beat the Red Wings the other night 7-3. They lost to LA 3-0, which isn't too bad because we ran into a really hot goalie. But the Habs, man, they're off to a really great start to this year, and they're surprising a lot of people. Same with Ottawa. Really off to a great start, but flipping the switch on that, some teams not doing so well. Calgary's a team that's struggling out of the gate. San Jose, a surprising team to be struggling this early on with the addition of Carlson over the offseason. I think they're not living up to a lot of people's expectations, but it's still early in the year. Carlson without a goal, mind you. St. Louis off to a really rough start. Still feeling the effects of missing Robbie Fabry from the lineup. If you remember, they picked up Ryan O'Reilly in the offseason, so I guess they were hoping that would improve their lineup. Sadly, has not, because O'Reilly, as we all know, is a very good two-way player. Team's not off to a very good start. Jake Allen's still struggling a little bit, so we'll have to see where that goes. That St. Louis team's got a really good core. I think they just need to find the right pieces to surround that core. Core players like Tarasenko, Pietrangelo, Steens probably, I would count him still in that core. O'Reilly's now in that core of players. Fabry, if he ever gets healthy. And the defense core is pretty good. They got Parayko, they've got Bomeister. I mean, it's a team that's pretty well set up, and they just need to find the right pieces. I think definitely losing players like Backes and Oshie have definitely hurt them in the long run, or I guess in the short run, because I know that they have some good prospects in the up-and-coming. To see how that turns out for the Blues. Vegas, also another team off to a surprising slow start. In my opinion, not that surprising. Everybody is predicting them. The bold prediction made by TSN, I think a couple weeks ago, was that Vegas was going to win the Stanley Cup. I think that's a little ridiculous. Again, for those of you who tuned into the last episode of Richard's Ringside Radio, you know how I feel about the Vegas Golden Knights' run to the Stanley Cup Finals last year. So I think that their lack of production this year is reflective of what the team is actually capable of. I don't think Vegas is as good as people say. I think they're a little overrated. I think they got lucky last year, and I think that that's finally catching up to them now as they struggle in the early parts of the season. But that's just my opinion, and my opinion based off facts, quite frankly. Update on the Nylander situation. Not much going on there still. Both camps pretty quiet. Still no deliberation yet. Well, not deliberation, but no solution yet, I should say. There was talk that Nylander might play in the KHL this year if a contract can't be reached between Nylander's camp and the Leafs camp by December 1st, then Nylander has the option to go play in the KHL for the year. But development on the Nylander contract dispute situation is GM for the Leafs Kyle Dubas flying out to Switzerland to meet with Nylander's camp to try and settle this. It's hypothesized that either he's trying to settle a contract with Nylander, or it's to reassure Nylander that they won't trade him away, because many people believe that Nylander has lost a lot of leverage in his contract dispute because the Leafs are succeeding without him. Which, I mean, I am in the mindset that of the big three in Toronto, Matthews, Marner, and Nylander, Nylander was probably the most expendable. So I think that, considering the Leafs' generous success so far in the season, definitely does not help Nylander's case. Moving on from that for now, if you recall, Nashville Predators forward Austin Watson got charged earlier in the summer for a domestic dispute issue with his girlfriend, I believe it was. So the NHL suspended Watson for 27 games. Naturally, it was appealed, and the NHLPA decided to reduce Watson's suspension to 18 games. Now, if you think Tom Wilson got suspended for his hit on Sungfist in the preseason, 20 games for a illegal hit to the head, right? Watson ends up being suspended 18 games for something he was convicted of. I can't attest to that. I'm not actually 100% sure that he was convicted. Regardless, there was the issue there. Clearly enough of an issue to warrant a 27-game suspension initially. So I just think it's an interesting thing that his suspension was appealed. It was successfully appealed. And his suspension got reduced to 18 games, which is lesser than Wilson's hit and his suspension. I just don't get how that functioned. And how will that affect Watson in the lineup? I mean, does that affect his stance within the team? Does Peter Laviolette put him in the lineup? Do they send him on waivers? Do they trade him? You know, you gotta wonder. When players come back to teams with this sort of baggage, how that affects the locker room and their play. I mean, just look at Mike Hoffman and subsequently Erik Karlsson. Look at all that nonsense that went on in Ottawa with all that off-ice stuff, and weeks or so, months after all that, both players were off the team. So I just think, I don't know how that Watson situation is going to settle itself out. But unfortunately, or I guess fortunately for some Leaf fans, back to the Leafs we go. Morgan Rielly is off to a really great start of the season. I would argue he's the Leafs' best defenseman, which isn't that much of an accomplishment because the Leafs don't have much of a defense core. But Rielly, I will admit, is a rather good defenseman. So Morgan Riley has second fastest points by a defenseman to start the season, faster than, get this, Bobby Orr. An interesting little thing for Morgan Riley. So congratulations to him. And subsequently, Auston Matthews became the third player in Leafs history to have a goal in five games, and the first in 74 years. 74 years. That's a lot. That's more than they had since the last time they won the Stanley Cup, which is also rather interesting. So an update on that Matthews situation, which was, I think, a few weeks ago. Matthews became the fifth player in NHL history to start a season with seven straight multi-point games. So Auston Matthews and the Leafs in general off to a really great start. Again, everyone expected this. Everyone expected the Leafs to have. It's warranted because the Leafs have so much firepower up front. The one thing, and this is my problem with the Leafs, right? Everyone sees all this great offense, right? They see Matthews, they see Marner, they see Riley, all these guys putting up great numbers, captain included. All these guys putting up great numbers. But you have to look at the goal differential. Their defense core and the goaltending has not been that great so far this year. Sorry, I forgot to mention that offensive lineup, Tavares. But yeah, their defensive capability, it's just not that good. And I know everybody is jumping on the Leafs train to, oh, the Leafs are going to win the Stanley Cup. The Leafs are going to be the first Canadian team to win the Cup since the Habs in 93. I think that's a little overzealous. I'm torn, you know, because if you look at a team like the Leafs, who last year got eliminated by the Bruins, and the only addition they really made in the offseason, the only notable decision they made in the offseason was to sign John Tavares. So they're adding to an already good offensive team and making it that much better. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking anything away from the Leafs offense. They're number one in the league right now in goals scored. So I have no problem with that. However, they did nothing to improve the defense core over the offseason. And if anything, their goaltending, which is good, got worse over the offseason. Sparks is good, but they lost a lot of depth when they lost Pickard and McElhinney. And McElhinney's having a great start with the Hurricanes. So when you do nothing to solve those issues, it hurts. I know because I saw the Habs go through it last year. In the offseason, they did nothing to improve their defense core. And they did nothing to shore up the center ice. And what ended up happening? They ended up finishing third last in the league. So the Leafs, in my opinion, they find that extra defenseman. I'd say either a top four or top two defenseman. And then they're a real Stanley Cup contender. Not to say they're not a contender now. They are. Because that offense seriously does make them a contender. But I think to be a serious contender, you need to improve that defense core. So that's my thing. That's why I try and slow down the Leaf hype train, because there are issues with this lineup. It's not perfect, but it is good. And another thing about the Leafs' early success is that they've been playing a lot of easy teams. Let me look up the Leafs' schedule. Okay, so far, the Leafs have played the Habs, the Senators, the Blackhawks, the Stars, the Red Wings, the Caps, and the Kings. All of those teams, with the exceptions of the Capitals, were non-playoff teams. And when I mean non-playoff teams, I mean they weren't even close. Oh no, LA, I'm sorry, was a playoff team last year. But they were swept in the first round. Montreal, bottom three. Senators, I believe they were bottom three as well. Blackhawks, bottom of the division. Stars, close to the playoffs but didn't quite make it. Red Wings, bottom of the division. Caps, Cup champions, I'll give them that. Okay? Kings swept in the first round. These aren't tough games to win. And think about it. They narrowly beat the Habs. The Habs outplayed them. The Sens beat them. They narrowly beat out the Blackhawks. And again, score was 7-6. Goaltending and defense not doing much for them. They blew the Stars out of the water. 7-4. But still, they let four goals in against the Stars. 5-3 victory against the Red Wings. Again, that's a given. The Red Wings are terrible. 4-2 against the Caps. It's a good game. 4-1 against the Kings. It's debatable. The Kings don't have their star goalie in Jonathan Quick, and they were swept in the first round last year. So I'm just saying, again, not to take anything away from the Leafs lineup, but I'm just trying to slow down the Leaf hype train and saying majority of the teams that they have beaten so far are not playoff teams. Let me know how they do against Nashville and I was going to say San Jose, but they're off to a rough start. The Jets, you know, they play the Jets twice this next week. So I'm just saying, keep that in mind. Keeping with the Leafs, Matthews is doing great. An amazing start to the season. Tavares, another great player, having a great start to the season. But their third centerman, now this is what they talked about in the offseason about after they acquired Tavares, that they would have a three-headed monster. Matthews at front on the first line, Tavares on the second line, and Kadri on the third line. So far, Matthews and Tavares are kicking butt, scoring points left and right. Kadri, on the other hand, struggling so far. I think that his reduced numbers, or his reduced ice time, is definitely not helping him. So the Leafs should keep an eye on that. As much as I don't like to admit it, Kadri is a talented player. Okay, we are going to go on a quick break because I need a drink of water. So first up, we have Folsom Prison Blues by Johnny Cash. Enjoy.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train.
That was Lay Lady Lay by Bob Dylan. What a great song, man. Bob Dylan. Anyway, welcome back. Let's get right back to it. Thomas Plekanec of the Montreal Canadiens played his first game of the season versus the Penguins, and then against the Red Wings in his 1,000th game. Wow. Against the Detroit Red Wings, Plekanec scored a really nice goal, I must say. Great speed on the goal. So congratulations on to Plekanec on his 1,000th game and a goal in that game. Update on injury news. Pittsburgh defenseman Justin Schultz is out 4 months with a fracture in his left leg. So that's a big loss for Pittsburgh, as their team that struggles with defense and is struggling at the gates right now. I mean, their injuries have not been kind to them so far. Losing Schultz for 4 months is definitely a big loss, considering Schultz plays the first line, and they lost Murray to a concussion. Murray off to a shaky start to the season. Recently acquired centerman Paul Stastny out up to 2 months with an undisclosed LBI. Vegas picking up Stastny in the offseason for a free agent signing. This one's a little old. This one's going back 2 weeks. So I wasn't going to include it, but I had to because it relates to something I mentioned in a previous episode. Islanders, New York Islanders, have named their captain, and their captain, Anders Lee. So congrats to him, and I just want to say that I was close. Now for the Islanders, in that episode, I was a little hesitant about who I was going to name. I will admit that Lee wasn't my first pick, but he was in my pick. I think it was Boychuk was my first pick, and then I said either Bailey or Lee. I'm actually going to go back and check. Okay, I said, okay, Anders Lee was my first alternate pick, and then it was Ladd or Eberle. So Anders Lee was my second pick for captain. Just saying. So Lee ended up being named captain for the Islanders after the departure of John Tavares. Speaking of Tavares and the Leafs, starting goaltender Frederik Andersen is day-to-day with a knee injury, but clearly the Leafs are fine without him. They're scoring enough goals to warrant not even putting a goalie in the net. Regardless, Sparks is doing well in the backup role, but that is where that depth in the backup position would have helped. Like with Pickard and McElhinney. Like if Sparks ever drops out at the same time Anderson's out, then the Leafs are going to be in quite a difficult situation. Montreal, the Canadiens, have placed Jacob De La Rose on waivers. De La Rose, a kind of a rough career so far with Montreal, not racking up a lot of points, in and out of the lineup on the fourth line, never really that productive. So they placed him on waivers a couple days ago, and then today, or last night, the Detroit Red Wings picked him up off waivers. I had a feeling if they put him on waivers, somebody would pick him up. I mean, I think he's I don't know how to describe him. I don't know. I think it's a low-risk move by the Red Wings, especially with that team where they are at. So I think it's a solid pickup for the Red Wings. Sticking with the Red Wings, brother of Andrei Svechnikov, Evgeny Svechnikov, is out for 5 to 6 months with knee surgery. So that's a hefty loss for the Red Wings. But does it really matter? I mean, the Red Wings are already a pretty dismal team at this moment. And, you know, when you watch that team play, I watched them play against the Habs, and it's just not even fair. I mean, I've been watching hockey for as long as I can remember, and I can't remember. I used to know names of players on every single team. And other than the veterans on Detroit, I can't name a single player on Detroit. I mean, off the top of my head, here's what I've got. Nicholas Cronwall, Justin Applicator, Gustav Nyquist, Darren Helm, Jimmy Howard. I don't know if Jonathan Erickson is still there. I don't think he is. Mike Green, but he's injured. So 6 to 7 names I can list off the top of my head for the Red Wings. That's rough. I mean, especially for original six team, that's definitely rough. And you got to feel for these vets like Applicator and Howard, all these guys who've been through the mill. They've been to Stanley Cup, like conference finals. I believe Helm and Cronwall both won the Stanley Cup with Detroit back in 2008. So you got to feel for these guys who are just wasting their careers away. And it sucks even more when you see what these guys could do in the situations when they had good pieces around them. You know, back to the, not even the glory days, but you go back maybe 5 years ago. You know, you had Datsyuk, Zetterberg, get all his guys. And if anybody remembers the semifinals between Detroit and Chicago, the bloodbath that was. What an incredible series. And just both Chicago and Detroit fell off last year. And Chicago looks to be turning it around for the most part. Detroit, still struggling. On the flip side, great news for Chicago Blackhawks. Goaltender Corey Crawford is expected to start tomorrow against the Coyotes. He's been out since December 23rd, 2017. So they've been without a starter for close to a year. My gosh. But definitely great news for the Blackhawks. And what a game to start against the Arizona Coyotes. I mean, you don't get much easier than that. So naturally, the Blackhawks are gonna enjoy having Crawford back. And I think if Crawford can successfully put himself back in the lineup and stay healthy, I think that the Blackhawks should be able to make a return to the playoffs this year. Because they still have a great core. I don't know what happened last year. I think between Crawford's injuries and just that the competitiveness of that Central Division really got to them. And they just fell off the ropes last year. So I think they should return to the playoffs this year. With Vegas, Marc-Andre Fleury, former Pens goalie, ties Glenn Hall, 10th all-time in wins in the NHL, with 407. So congrats to Fleury. He should keep moving up, I imagine. So good for Fleury. Other than William Nylander, there is still one restricted free agent. Now, I know Nylander dominates a lot of the talk because I would argue he's better than this player, and because he naturally plays for the Leafs, and the Leafs just generate more media attention than Anaheim, which, if you haven't figured out already, I'm talking about Nick Ritchie. Nick Ritchie, the restricted free agent in Anaheim. However, the difference between those two situations is that Nick Ritchie is actually close to a contract with Anaheim. So talks have been heating up after being pretty quiet in the summer. So it's looking like Nick Ritchie is close to signing, probably within the next week or so. It's expected to be a 3-year bridge deal between Ritchie's camp and the Anaheim Ducks, which would be good because the Ducks are off to a great start to the season. They're getting Getzlaf back tonight, and if they can get Ritchie back in the lineup, that's just even better. That's an even bigger plus. And Perry will be back in a couple months, so, you know, I think the Ducks should be able to make the playoffs again this year and continue their success. The question is, will they make it out of the first round this year? That is the question. Speaking about teams that didn't make the playoffs but should have, Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers, off to a bit of a shaky start, especially with the whole international game. That kind of slowed down their schedule a bit, so they're a couple games behind the rest of their division. However, Connor McDavid off to an amazing start. He is the favorite, actually, for the Hart Trophy this year. So we'll have to see how that turns out. But he just set a record for having a point on all of Edmonton's first 9 goals of this season. So McDavid, call him what you want, McJesus. I don't know. I heard that today, and I thought that was amusing. But this guy's just on another level. if you watch the guy, I know a lot of people don't get a chance to watch the Edmonton games because they're on the West Coast feed. So, you know, the games are at 10 o'clock at night. It's a little late for some people. But if you ever have a chance to stay up late to catch an Oilers game, do it. And I know that's something that hasn't been said in a couple of years. Staying up late to catch the Oilers game? Is it the 80s? But no. McDavid? Seriously. Guy's on a whole nother level. And he's just off to a great start. However, that record will not continue as Darnell Nurse scored in overtime last night while McDavid was on the bench. So that record will stay where it is. But congrats to McDavid for setting an NHL record. Not something easy to do, especially as the league celebrated its 100th year last year. Like I said, with the Nylander situation, sorry, we're flying a lot back and forth because my notes are all out of order. But yeah, Kyle Dubas is flying to Switzerland to meet with Nylander. But now there's talk about how Kasperi Kapanen, how great of a start he's having to the season, 8 points in 5 games, how good his start, how well his start is going to affect the Nylander contract. Because now they're going to have to start to think about Kapanen's contract and the sort of money he's going to demand on top of the money that Matthews and Marner are going to command and Nylander. So the Leafs in a really difficult position with all their young players because everybody wants their money, man. And there's only so much of it to go around. So we'll see if Kapanen can continue his play and to put a little more heat in the Leafs management. So now we're going to give a summary of last night's games. So the Rangers and Colorado. Rangers beating Colorado 3-2 in a shootout. Chris Kreider with a goal. Shattenkirk with 2 assists and the shootout winner. Matt Zuccarello with 2 assists. Landeskog with a goal and an assist. And McKinnon with a goal. So solid victory there for the Rangers. Big victory over Colorado. Colorado, naturally, a good team from last year's turnaround. New Jersey Devils shut out the Dallas Stars last night. Kincaid getting a shutout. Kyle Palmieri already has 7 goals. And he's the first player in the NHL history to score the opening goal for his team in 4 consecutive games. So Palmieri putting up a good season so far. So Palmieri, Coleman, and D scoring for the Devils last night for a 3-0 victory. Philly beat Florida in shootout. I caught the latter half of that game last night in the shootout. So Jordan Wheel with a goal and assist in regulation. And then the shootout winner. Not a bad move on Michael Hutchinson, as Luongo is out with injury. Vancouver Canucks beating the Pittsburgh Penguins in OT. Goals by Gensel and Hagelin and Hutton. And for the Canucks, Hutton and Sutter and Brock Besser scoring the overtime winner. The Pens off to a little bit of a rough start. I'm sure they'll turn it around. Vancouver off to a mediocre start, considering. Florida winless, so they're off to a bit of a rough start. Got a point last night, though, against Philly. It's not too bad. Philly's off to an okay start. The Devils off to a good start. They're, I think, in the top 5 of the league right now. Stars aren't doing too bad. I think they're off to an okay start, considering where they finished last year. Rangers not doing so hot. Although beating Colorado last night was a good victory. Colorado off to a good start as well. Moving forward, Tampa Bay won 4-2 over Carolina with Tyler Johnson having a hat trick. Hadn't scored yet and followed that up with a hat trick in that game. So Johnson is getting a hat trick. Michael Ferland and Nikas scoring for Carolina in last night's game. Minnesota beat Arizona 2-1. Goals for Arizona, Brandon Perlini. And goals for Minnesota, Michael Granlund and Eric Staal. Eric Staal, quite the resurgence in his career, might I add. Kind of faltered a bit in New York as he got there after leaving Carolina for the first time. And he's really made a resurgence in his career, a renaissance, I would say, as, you know, but definitely a renaissance in his career in Minnesota. The Oilers beat the Jets 5-4 in overtime. That must have been a great game. Two good Canadian teams battling it out. Adam Lowry having 2 goals. McDavid had, get this, 4 points last night. Again, continuing that NHL record he has. However, like I mentioned earlier, Darnell Nurse disrupted that NHL record as he scored in overtime while McDavid was on the bench. So that's the first goal Edmonton scored all year so far without McDavid getting an assist or scoring it himself. So that's a little interesting. And then Vegas beat the Sabres 4-1. Marchessault had 2 goals. Carlson had 3 points. And like I said, Fleury picking up his 407th victory, tying Glenn Hall for 10th all time. All right, we're going to go to a quick break here. And then when we get back, we're going to fly through the last little bit of our news. And this is Give Me Shelter by the Rolling Stones. Enjoy. That was The Highwayman by The Highwayman. One of my favorite songs of all time, not gonna lie. It's an ominous cloud that has formed over the sun and casts the studio in quite a shadow. So I don't know if my bad-mouthing about the Leafs has come back to haunt me. I hope that's not the case. And now there's quite the breeze, as you can hear in the background. Anywho, let us fly through the last little bit of our news before we round out the show. Or I suppose as we round out the show. Like I said, Detroit picked up De La Rose from the Habs. One quick thing I want to point out, Patrice Bergeron off, and the Bruins in general, off to an amazing start to the season. And I found, interestingly enough, Bergeron had a hat trick in the Bruins' last game. And I didn't know this, but that was the first hat trick of his career. In all his years of playing, the amount of great teams and illustrious seasons he's had, not a single hat trick. I thought that was rather interesting. Just a little tidbit. For those of you who remember Jake Dodgson, I remember we talked about it at the beginning of the show. Dodgson was a Tampa Bay Lightning, and then he showed up to training camp overweight. So they demoted him, and I think they waived his contract, if I remember, because he didn't show up in shape. So he wasn't playing. So the Anaheim Ducks today signed Jake Dodgson to a 1-year, $800,000 contract. So I think it's a solid signing for the Ducks. I think Dodgson's a good physical defenseman. I think him showing up overweight he's not the first person to show up to camp overweight. So I get the Lightning's move to demote him. But I think losing him is also kind of not foolish, but it's not a smart move for depth, I might add. Like I said, Ryan Getzlaf returning tonight for the Ducks against the Islanders. So that's great news for the Ducks getting their captain back. Not so great news for the Ottawa Senators as they lose 4th overall pick Brady Tkachuk for one month as he tore a ligament in his leg. Hang on, I'm just going to close this window here because I think it's snowing. just to confirm, yes, it is indeed snowing. I had to close the window as there was stuff flying into the studio. And I looked outside, there's actually snowflakes. October 17th, and it's already snowing. So it is not going to be a very enjoyable walk back to my apartment from the studio. Anyway, like I said, Brady Tkachuk out for 1 month with a torn ligament in his leg. Pretty rough, as Tkachuk had already missed some time earlier in the season to a leg injury, I believe. I remember somebody, hang on. Somebody else was out with... Oh, yeah, it was Svechnikov. Svechnikov was out 3 to 4 months with knee surgery. I think I forgot to mention what he was actually out for. Good news for the Habs is Carey Price should start tonight against the Blues. He had the flu the last couple of weeks, so he didn't play against Detroit. Or I can't remember who he played before Detroit. Or the Penguins, I think it might have been. But he didn't play then either. So Price should be able to start tonight against the Blues, which should be a good game. I mean, St. Louis off to a rough start, Montreal off to a good start. So we'll see how that goes. That's most of the news for today. I'm just going to let you guys know who's playing tonight and what games you guys can catch. So tonight, not a lot of games tonight. Very minimal. Only 4 games. So the New York Rangers are taking on the Washington Capitals in Washington. So that should be a good game. Rangers toward the bottom of the league, but so are the Caps. So the Caps looking to rise up through those rankings, I imagine. Like I mentioned before, the St. Louis Blues are in Montreal taking on the Habs. So the Blues looking to return back to form. The Habs looking to continue their hot start. Jonathan Drouin, I might add, had 2 goals the other night against Detroit. So that was a good game for Montreal and a lot of their players to get their first goals of the season, get that out of the way so they can just keep scoring. The Boston Bruins are playing in Calgary tonight to take on the Flames, who have been struggling as of late, still looking to get comfortable, I imagine, with such a different lineup than last year, losing Hamilton and gaining guys like Neal and Hanifin, just trying to adjust to that new lineup. The New York Islanders are in Anaheim, like I said, to take on the Anaheim Ducks. Ryan Getzlaf should return tonight to play against the Islanders. So that's it for tonight's games. Not a lot of games, like I said, but definitely some good ones to watch. I know I will probably be watching the Montreal game. The Bruins game should be good as well. Okay, we are at 4:58, so we are going to round out the show. Didn't have time to play as much music as I wanted to today. Well, that's not true. I got through most of the songs, but I was going to play Panic in Detroit by David Bowie, but I didn't want to run too long on music time. But it's a good song. If you haven't heard it, I'd highly recommend listening to it. But yeah, we listened to some good tunes today. Some Johnny Cash. We had some Rolling Stones, Bob Dylan. It was a good mix of music today. So again, we're going to continue that next week. So yeah, that is it for today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all for tuning in to Richard's Ringside Radio on Radio Laurier. Again, I thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed. And make sure to tune in next week for next week's episode. And we will discuss more in depth about news and injuries and updates in the NHL. So I wish you all luck in the coming week. And thank you all for watching. See you all later.